Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. Well, yesterday we heard from Victoria talking about her discomfort in a hairdresser's unhygienic practices as she saw them. And we were told by a number of hairdressers, as you know, contact us that to drop a comb or a brush or a utensil or scissors on the floor while you're engaged in a procedure with someone's hair and just to pick it back up and start working again is akin to dropping a fork in a restaurant, the waiter or the waitress dropping a fork in a restaurant and picking it back up and just handing it to you. And this has prompted Chris to contact us, 0818 715 815. Chris, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. What happened?
So I was on a flight, Joe. A few weeks ago, I was on a flight and I'm sitting down in the aisle seat of the plane and a gentleman gets on and he's sitting directly behind me in the aisle seat as well. So plane takes off and he was obviously very excited to get to the beach and couldn't wait. So he takes his shoes off, then he takes his socks off and he has the feet spread out into the aisle for the best part 3 or 4 hours in the flight. So I had no choice but to sit there and enjoy the sight of his toes for 4 hours.
And was there a hum?
Was there a what, sorry?
A hum, a smell.
I didn't get close enough to look, Joe. I think I was trying to avoid them, but they weren't pretty anyway. So I don't know what they would have smelled like, but I didn't want to get too close.
And was the plane packed?
Yeah, jam-packed, you know, full flight. So he was in the aisle and he kind of thinks nothing of putting the feet out. And they're out in the aisle, so, you know, everyone's trying to walk past, having to step over his toes. And I just think, you know, you wouldn't do it on the bus, you wouldn't do it on a train, but something about getting on planes and...
But you're allowed to get on a plane in a pair of open-toed sandals.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, that's one thing if you're going to the beach and you're on the sandals, but I just think taking the socks off and having the feet out, like, you know, you wouldn't do it yourself now, would you, you know?
Was he dressed in a suit or how was he dressed?
I didn't see him. He I think he got on after me and he got off the flight before me, so I didn't get a good look at him, so I thought, you know, next best thing is to ring the National Airways and tell you instead.
Okay. And then during the airline?
No. Look, Joe, there's bigger problems in the world. It wasn't that bad, but, you know, I just thought it's not the kind of thing I said that you'd do on a bus or a train, but people seem to do on a plane and think nothing of getting their toes out for everyone to look at.
Okay, I know I heard an air steward on recently saying what they don't like is passengers walking up and down to the bathroom in their bare feet. They know people do
good.
The people do get on in sandals or Birks or whatever, but they said, well, I think most people do put on, even if they are wearing flip-flops on a plane. You are allowed to wear flip-flops on a plane, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Now, this wasn't flip-flops. This was the whole foot out, you know. And as I said, it wasn't the nicest foot I've ever seen, Joe.
And was it my left foot or his left foot?
It was the left foot. It must have been the left foot.
Okay.
I don't know if it was mine or it was his.
And by the way, what's a 4-hour flight what's a 4-hour flight on a packed plane like?
Oh, well, you know yourself. It's cramped and everyone wants to get where they're going to. So these little things tend to grate on, you know. It's like that movie, you know, Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, Snakes on a Plane.
Holes on a plane.
And I asked about it today and nobody could tell. Everyone knows about that movie, but no one has ever seen it, I think. Okay, Chris, good to be in the market. Safe travelling. Maureen, good afternoon, Maureen. Back to pass. I think your husband had a brilliant idea. Would you explain
did
what?
Really?
Yes. Explain what he did.
Well, his wallet was stolen in Paris at one stage and he came and he decided to buy a chain then and put it on his wallet. And then we were going to Sydney to see my daughter.
Now, hold on. His wallet was stolen in Paris.
Yes.
Quite a common occurrence. So what did he do with his wallet?
Then he bought a chain attached to his wallet. Yeah.
How do you
it's
attach...
It's just like a little key ring, that's all. You know, a key ring and a chain.
And could you clip the wallet onto it?
Yes.
So there's an aperture, there's a hole in the wallet.
Yes, there is.
In the corner. Okay, with a little... Yeah, okay. And
so then we were on going to Paris or to Sydney to see our daughter, and he decided, you know, I'll attach the passport on the same key ring.
Yes.
To the wallet.
Okay.
And we left from Dublin.
That's an abundance. That's an abundance of caution. He was worried about. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know. Then we went from Dublin to Heathrow.
Okay. Maureen, he got the wallet had an aperture in it to put in a ring to attach it to a chain with an eyelet like.
Yes, a specific
aperture, like a little on your shoe with it. And
so
then he decided, because everyone's worried about the passport being robbed, stolen, mislaid or whatever, he said, I'll double down on this and I'll put a small aperture in the passport.
Yes, exactly.
And how did he drill? How did he do that? Passports are pretty thick.
I'm not sure. He's pretty good at anything like that.
Okay, okay. So now the wallet is on a chain and the passport's on a chain.
On the same chain.
He put a little ring through the eye.
Put it through the little hole, the tiny hole in the passport. And off we go. And we go to Dublin Airport, then on to Heathrow.
No problem,
then on to Kuala Lumpur.
Right.
And then on to Sydney. And at Sydney, they just came along when he handed in his passport. They just came along. These two men came along and said, excuse me, sir, we want you to come with us.
Okay.
And I was left there. No mobile at the time. And I was left there for about 3/4 of an hour while they brought him in and grilled him in a room. And just said, you know.
So did he know? I don't know whether you've seen those reality television. One of them, I think, is set in Sydney. With the customs. God, they're tough, aren't they?
They're very tough.
They're very tough.
And
okay.
I was left there.
So your husband is called aside. Did he have any idea why he was being called aside?
No. They just asked, would you come with us, sir?
Okay.
So, and then he went into this office and, of course, he explained everything to them, that his wallet had been stolen and this is why he did this and all that. So eventually they let him go and said, don't ever come back here again with the hole in your wallet or in your passport.
Oh, it was the hole in the wallet that they were objecting to.
No, in the passport.
Attached to the wallet, attached to the chain, attached to his...
Yeah, but when he was handing in the passport, the passport was taken off the chain, you know, it wasn't attached then when he was handing it in, you know. But they spotted the little hole.
And what did they say to him?
They just said, we let you through, but don't ever come here to us again with that same passport.
So they said he was wrong?
Yes.
In putting a hole?
Yes, you can't interfere with your passport in any way, apparently.
Okay. So, did he get back out of Australia?
Oh, well, he got back okay. I think there was some note put up somewhere and we were there for about 2 weeks, I think,
You see, the discussions we had the other day about, it's very unclear what constitutes damage to a passport.
Yeah. Now, this little hole wouldn't have interfered with any written stuff inside or anything, you know. But
and by the way, when his wallet was stolen in Paris...
Yes.
How did they get their hands onto it?
Well, we ran the tube on our way somewhere and these two men were beside him and one said to him, I think you've dropped your ticket, sir. And when he bent down, the wallet was gone. And off they went. They always do it near where you're at a stop. And by the time we got, it's a long time ago now, by the time we got to call... the bank, they had €1,000 euro taken out of his account.
Now, I've been talking to a few people who were away recently, Barcelona, Venice, Paris. Has pickpocketing, is it on the up in cities at the minute? Because it seems to be, that's only anecdotal. I don't know why, but it seems to be. Stay with us, Maureen. Joe at rt.ie 51551 is the text. Johnny O'Brien. Johnny.
Hi, Joe.
Bulgaria,
yeah. It was kind of, I blame it on cock people.
Okay, yeah, it's a good idea. That was a great fallback position, I find,
So it's the last night of our holiday. We were in Sunny Beach.
Yeah.
And we said we'd take it easy, you know. shit out that night.
Last night,
and there was the guy, it was like a swim up bar. So cocktails, buy one, get one free, and they were like petrol. You could actually light them, you know.
Yeah.
So,
oh, good luck.
Eventually, the next morning came, we were like well rattled in the next morning by the time it came around.
Yeah. Well, so can you walk back, Johnny, straight? What time did you finish up at with the Cork couple?
Well, I don't actually know. They were on their honeymoon. It was the first night, so we just said we can't.
What was it after midnight, Johnny?
We had to teach them how to party. Sure. You know, the Kerry people.
So many of these petrol drinks did you think you had in Bulgaria, which are for nothing?
I couldn't answer that. Like, there was a good few.
Good few, okay.
The value for money was great there, yeah, okay. And then you get in a half price.
So you wake up. What time are we due in the airport at?
Don't actually know, but all I know is we got on the bus and it was with Budget.
Yeah, remember? Okay, yeah.
I don't know if they're still going on that Budget, but we were queuing up in the airport and then everything was hunky-dory, you know. We were dying, myself and my partner, and it was the time where, you know, you put your case in and wait.
Yeah, yeah.
And went for the tickets, no problem. Passports, no passports.
Oh, good luck.
So checked everything.
Yeah. Said,
where did we leave? In Bulgaria, it's very security-wise, like, you know.
Yeah, strict. Yeah, they're cautious.
They actually encourage you to leave your passport behind the desk,
yeah, in his
locker.
Okay,
well, that's what we did, to make it nice and safe.
Okay.
So,
but you're now separated from your passport.
We're in, I think it's Burgas Airport.
Airport, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, I'm not even sure how back.
Yeah, okay.
So, panicked and got on to the Budget girl, who was fantastic. So she rang the hotel. And the hotel said, yeah, blah, blah, blah. We've seen the passports. Hopefully we'll make it on time, you know.
Yeah.
So eventually the passports arrived outside the airport. And myself and my partner and the Budget girl, we went out delirious because I knew I was getting home.
Okay.
And so the lads kind of walked away, you know, and I was paying the taxi driver. Paid him and tipped him as well, you know. He was nice. So off he went, and off we went back into the airport.
Yeah.
And I'm queuing up again.
Yes.
And, you know, everything is happy now. We have our passport tickets.
Yes.
Maybe 20 minutes later.
Yes.
In comes this guy with two passports in his hand, and he spotted the Budget travel rep.
Yeah.
And he was there. Passports, anyone, passports.
Yeah.
And I said, it can't be us, can it? Because, like, we have ours.
Yeah, you just collected them off the taxi driver. Did you give the taxi driver a few bob?
Yeah, but I had
very,
left
them very generous.
Up on top of his cab, and he drove off with him.
He speeds out from Sunny Beach to Burgas Airport.
Yeah.
With your passports.
Yeah.
Breaking every traffic light. He screeches up to departures. You run out to meet him. He jumps out of the car. He hands you the two passports. You being the generous Kerry man that you are.
Well, you baby.
rifle through your pockets to find a tenner or whatever they take. Well, a tenner would be great for them.
Easy.
So you hand them a tenner. But in the meantime, you didn't realise you'd put the two passports on the roof of the taxi.
Roof of the taxi. So
and the taxi took off.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, he must have been stuck in traffic or something, because if they had blown off, he wouldn't have known it. But what happened was that he said he was trying to tell me, they come down, you know, in front of my
windscreen. they rained on him.
It rained passport. And I said, you know, after hearing the story about those people the last day, I'll try a bit of fun on it.
But Johnny,
we got home eventually.
Yeah, well done, Johnny. I hope you did a lot of when you got home, because you're the luckiest man in the world.
Listen to this, and this is as true as God.
Yeah.
So I was working in Tesco at the time.
Right.
And Boyle's Bookmakers had opened up near us above in Manor in Tralee.
Yeah.
And they did a sweep straw free for the staff and you know. So I got a phone call off my mate, Paddy Hobart. So he'd be delighted to hear his name. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm in Bulgaria." He said, "You're one jammy bee." You know that draw that the boys were doing?
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, it was for a holiday, valued 500 quid, and I won it."
Oh, well done.
So when I came back,
yes,
I actually collected another holiday.
And off you went. That's brilliant. That was a
kind of a good luck story.
Yeah. Well done. Okay, Johnny. And
the moral of the story is stay away from the cocktails on the last night.
And come here, have you kept in touch with that couple who spent their honeymoon night getting locked with you and your wife?
No, I think because I think memory was kind of gone like for the way it just goes. But we had a great crack. I have photos, all right.
You have evidence. Have you, by the way, do you know what you were drinking? Was it vodka or was it champagne?
No, it was spirits.
Whatever.
They're very generous with the spirits.
Yeah, I know. And did it taste like, was it racky or licorice-y?
No. It was actually, they were lovely going down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were sugared up,
And what were they like coming back up?
I was going to say, they weren't sugary coming back up.
Come here to me, Johnny. Do you remember the date? Let's try and find that couple. The year is 2007. Oh my God!
It was 2007, I think it was May, June. June.
And they were on their honeymoon. Were they young?
Yeah.
What age were they?
They were young. Well, I was around 40 maybe at the time. Okay. 41 or 2, and they would have been younger than me.
Okay, and would they have known your name, Johnny O'Brien?
I doubt it, but we did take photos.
Okay.
Before I go, you ran about the grooming there yesterday. The dog.
The
names of the places.
Yeah.
There's one above in Holly Hill in Cork, and it's called Doggy Styles.
Doggy Styles.
Brilliant. Doggy Styles, and I think there's one down in Cork as well. Doggy Styles.
Okay, well done. What was the name? What was the name of that chap? Briefly, it's Friday. What was the name of that chap who you said he'd be thrilled to hear his name on air?
Oh, Paddy Hubbard, yeah.
Paddy Hubbard. And how is Paddy? Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while. How is he?
Paddy Hubbard. Paddy would be in his 40s, maybe.
Ah, that's young, yeah. Okay, so we say hello to Paddy Hubbard.
Yeah, he's great, yeah.
Good lad.
But, he's the guy that rang me to tell me that...
Tell you that you won the 500... quid. Well done.
Yeah.
207. Okay, Johnny, where are you? Were you on holidays this year? You weren't on a plane 2 weeks ago and you didn't take off your shoes and socks, did you?
Jesus, no. That's disgusting. Bloody hell. I know what I do to him.
Okay, Johnny, go to meet him. Lothar Lucan.
Yeah, hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's in the rain here.
Well, it's raining, so you're in Cork.
Yeah, West Cork.
Oh, West Cork. How long have you been living there, Lothar?
44 years.
Oh, great. And where are you from originally?
Germany.
Oh, you wouldn't have got you. Your accent is long gone at this stage, isn't it?
Well, some people still detect it.
Okay, you love, Lothar, walking in your bare feet. Tell us.
Yeah, I like that, and I do it almost all the time. I mean, not in the middle of winter, of course.
Yeah.
But it just feels great.
Like, would you walk...
And I think many people tell me then, oh, yeah, they do that in the morning when they walk about the lawn, over the lawn, and that's wonderful, and they remember that, but...
Would you walk into a supermarket in your bare feet?
I walk everywhere in my bare feet, and that is why I rang you about this guy who...
Yeah.
Has
objected.
A problem with toes, yeah. You know.
And what do you think of what he said? He couldn't bear to look at the other fella's left foot.
Yeah, I don't know what that guy does when he's on a beach and everyone has shoes on.
Yeah.
What does he do? So he has a problem.
He's a phobia.
Actually, no one else seems to have a problem. Definitely not the airlines, because... Being from Germany, I always fly back, and I fly to Holland and all that, and right. I have never been stopped even on an aeroplane.
So would you walk through an airport in your bare feet?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it is, I must say, it's an eerie feeling, because, say, in Amsterdam, that's a huge airport, and there's tens of thousands of people, literally, that you pass, and you're the only one without shoes.
And you walk through, obviously, most people end up having to walk through security in their bare feet, so that's not an issue. And what about what about when glass and people dropping nails and pins and even on
That's an interesting one. You have, I don't know, Bentry at the market, the square. There used to be a point where young people hung out, and that was always splinters, glass, shards.
Okay.
But you develop a kind of unconscious eye for it.
What have
you're not scanning consciously the ground for anything like glass or whatever, but you still are aware of it.
And Lothar, have you ever ended up like Padre Pio? Have you ever ended up with your feet bleeding?
No.
Never?
No, never, no.
You've never stood on a nail or a tack or a bit of broken grass, glass or ceramics or...
No, I mean, obviously you take care.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And there are places where I couldn't walk without shoes. For example, if there's a mountain, there is gorse.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And heather and stuff like that.
Would you go...
mind you, I just went to Northern Ireland and had a great walk at Fairhead.
In your bare
feet. And it's all grass and rocks and whatever. And I walked for an hour without shoes, and it was just wonderful.
And people, as you know, Lothar, you're probably familiar with this, you're here so long. People climb Croagh-Patrick, the holy mountain in Mayo. They climb that in their bare feet.
Yeah, but they do that for penance.
So
I've climbed Croagh-Patrick. That wasn't true, sir.
Okay, but why? So why do you do it?
I don't know. I mean, the flippant answer would be, listen, I was born that way.
What, do you come from a do you come from a family of barefoot walkers?
No, not at all. No, very trim middle class people.
Okay, I think it's. And do you wear styled shorts, so to speak? Do you wear jeans in your bare feet?
Yeah, I do wear pants, yeah.
Okay, I know that. I was thinking where. So, has anyone ever said anything to you?
Some people find it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Some old geezers like me light up and say, oh, yeah, I used to be a hippie and we were always in bed.
That's true.
And that was funny, but... And some find it interesting, and then why do you do it or whatever. And I have only ever had... One bad experience.
Oh, talk to Joe. Tell us, Lothar. That's the right one.
That was in, let's call it an old-fashioned hotel in Clonakilty.
Okay.
Where they refused to give me breakfast.
Did they tell you why?
They said, show some respect. And I said, hey, why don't you respect me?
Yeah.
You see, and I just walked out.
In your bare feet.
It was actually quite a confrontational way they treated me. So that's obviously I don't go there again, and I tell everyone about them.
You wouldn't put your bare foot inside the door again. Lothar, did they not say to you the reason why we don't want you in your bare feet at the breakfast is because it's a buffet breakfast and there's hot liquids?
No, they did not say that. They said, show some respect in that way, obviously thinking that the other people having their breakfast there would not like it. But as I say, I have had no one ever complaining about it.
Yeah, but like a lot of... because you might remember the Sandy Shaw, when she won the Eurovision Puppet on a String, her unique selling point was that she performed in her bare feet. I think there's a number of, I think Marty Pello from Wet, Wet, Wet performed in his bare feet. Andrea Carr of the Carrs, they're on a massive world tour, massive sold out world tour at the minute.
Oh, thanks, Joe, for telling me some names of allies.
Yeah, no, and they're coming to Dublin, aren't they, the Carrs, in 2 weeks. I presume it's sold out. But Andrea... The videos I've been looking at from the tour, which is, as I say, sold out, she's in her bare feet. So you are not alone, Lothar.
Oh, I know.
Have you any shoes in your house?
I have shoes in my car.
Many
just
pairs
in
of
case.
Many
and
pairs.
When I work here, I'm working a lot with natural stone and all that. Obviously, I put shoes on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, boots. How many items of footwear do you own?
What do I own? I have, of course, the clogs for gardening. I have runners. I have welly boots, of course.
Do you have Birks? Birkenstock from Germany.
And I have sandals.
Sandals, don't you? Okay. Okay, well done. Well, don't let anyone put you down. Don't let anyone put you down. You haven't.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't even notice anymore.
Yeah.
It's come so naturally, and that's how it is. So.
And you're in your bare feet now.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm in my house. I mean.
Yes. Okay. Well done, Lothar. And Lothar, what does your name mean insofar as it translates? Lothar Lucan. Sounds like something out of a Batman movie.
It's just names. I mean, there were some Carolingian kings who were called Lothar.
Okay.
Which gave the name to Lotharingen, which is Lorraine, that area of Germany.
And does that give the name to loitering, as in hanging about with your bare feet doing nothing?
I don't think so.
I don't think
so. I tell you one thing. Lothar, the way it's spelled, Lothar.
Oh, yes.
It's actually also an Irish word.
Okay.
And it's a rare word, and I found it first as a townland on Nantucket Island and somewhere in that region.
Oh, Lothar, okay.
And then I found out it means a fleece.
Fleece, okay.
And from there it also became a word for a garment.
Okay.
But it seems to be a very rare word because many Gaelgers don't even know it.
Lothar, okay.
So it's probably out of use or whatever.
Lothar,
but it was fun to see that as an Irish word.
Yeah, and it's fun to talk to you. You're fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Okay, Lothar,
thank you.
Mind yourself, Lothar of the bear feet. Joe at rt.ie, 51551, take number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I mentioned the other day that Meaning of Life is back this Sunday night, RT1 television at 10:30. I didn't mention the guest, our opening guest on Sunday night is Sinead Bourke, from the organisation Tilting the Land. She's on the Council of State. She's a disability advocate. She was on the front of Vogue magazine. And I think, having recorded it for nearly 2 hours with Sinead, she was tired at the end of it, as both of us were. I think it's a fascinating piece. It's about 35 minutes long. And that's Sunday night, 10:30, RT1 television, Sinead Bourke, The Meaning of Life. Okay. Oh, by the way, someone else pointed out, bare feet. Paul McCartney on the cover of Abbey Road, the Beatles album, he was in his bare feet on the pedestrian crossing, the only one of the four, and people start reading messages into that Paul had died and had gone to heaven and come back again. But anyway, I mentioned Solar Sol and Gorey yesterday, and unfortunately we're getting more calls from people who are owed money. Des, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon. How are you?
And what is your situation with Solar Sol and Gorey?
Solar Sol and us, we go back to the very end of May.
Okay.
Long story short, we paid $6,100 as a deposit.
Wow.
And we got the toing and froing with various emails and all of that. In between that, the 29th of August, we were hit with an email, a generic type email that went to just dear customer type thing, saying the company was facing potential liquidation. In that, it's stated very clearly such circumstances have been created by individuals no longer associated with the company, blah, blah, blah. We're trying to resolve the situation. If you are requesting a refund, we will endeavor to return your refund as soon as possible. In the meantime, I ask and hope that you will treat our staff with kindness and dignity as they continue to try and work behind the scenes and finding solutions. So effectively, we're out of pocket of $6,100.
My God. And apart from that letter saying, please be kind to us, and we'll do our best, have you had any communication?
See, we've had communication over the period that there was a time in queried the installation of where we were. The battery was due to be put in the attic. Okay. Uh-huh. And they agreed to put in a few floorboards just at our request on that. That wasn't okay. any extra cost. Yeah. That was the middle of June. Fast forward to the 18th of July, I had sent in a query regarding the floorboards on the 17th of June. I didn't get a reply until the 18th of July. Thank you for your email and apologies for delay in replying. Between the relocation of premises, new phones, etc., we're a bit behind. But however, I'm hopeful your installation will be completed in the next few weeks. Now, slightly before that time, I had noticed that their office on the Arklow Road in Bory was empty.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to my wife, my God, have they done a bunk? Mm-hmm. And I went in to look at it more closely, and all that was on the doorway was, you can contact us at the following email address.
Okay.
So there was no no information regarding a new premises. My wife had a bad fall around the 23rd of July. Now, I sent an email to them sometime after that, inquiring about the floorboards update. And on the 24th of July, I did get a reply, and they did mention at least at this stage we are still in the process of setting up in Goring Business Park, and you can contact us at our new phone number. So they had a new phone number listed. And in that sense, I was reassured. But from then on, basically, I was preoccupied at home with
your wife,
my wife recovering, yes. So then, out of the blue, a month later, 29th of August, the email came about the facing potential liquidation. I replied via email, and I tried to make phone contact. I went up to Gorey Business Park, searched around for the premises, and I did find two people there that indicated that they seemed to have premises there. I got a response on the 30th of August, saying many thanks for your understanding. Right now I am in constant contact. This was part of the reply. Right now I'm in constant contact with the accountant and director and doing everything we can to ensure everyone is looked after. I will contact you as soon as possible when I have more concrete procedure time frame.
You haven't been contacted. You're still down over €6,000.
Yes.
My God.
I sent further emails on the 8th and 10th of September, but didn't get any response. Okay.
Stay with us. So that means from yesterday, and including people who didn't want to go on air, that's over 20,000. That's owed to the Liveline listeners. Okay, where's John? John, good afternoon. It's terrible what's happening to that man, Des, and his wife who had a fall. I'll get back to him. John, what's your situation, please?
Yeah, hi, Joe. I hope you can hear me there. We're in the same situation with Solar Sol. We paid a deposit of 4,900 back in July. And we were supposed to have the installation done in August. We rang them in August. They said they were having a few problems. We weren't happy. I wasn't happy with them. Mm-hmm. And I looked for my deposit back. They said they would give it back to me next week. Again, that came the week after, and no luck. And then, like with that other chap there, towards the end of August, then we got the letter to say, look, it's they're going into liquidation or possibly going into liquidation. So since then, we can't contact them at all.
How much are you down in total?
4,700.
My God. The exact same happening to everybody. Why hasn't this been... Has this been in the guys' head? There's a great paper. It's a Gorey Guardian. Has anyone picked this up? This is shocking. This is shocking, the number of people that have been stung. Ian McWilliam, stay there, John. Ian McWilliam.
Hello, how are you, Joe?
What situation are you in? Solar Sol again, is it, in Gowrie?
It is very similar. We were talking to our representative in the middle of June.
Yeah.
And we had to put a 50% deposit up before that they would examine our house to look and see what was required. Yeah.
How much, Ian?
Another 5950.
For God's sake. You're not serious.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
Des, six grand. Ian, $6,000. John, what, nearly $5,000. Yesterday, two callers on air, one of them was $10,000 between the two of them. A number of callers weren't going on, another $10,000. This is nearly 40,000 euros is this person has taken.
I do know other people as well. But, you know.
Where's the company gone? Where's Solar Sol Gowrie gone? Do we know?
I have no idea. I've no idea. We got it. They rang us on the 12th of August to say that they were a little bit behind. Our installation was due at the end of July.
Yeah.
They rang us on the 12th of August. They rang my wife, Orla, and she was a bit perturbed by the phone call. She felt the phone call was odd, to be fair. And we tried to ring the representative that had sold us the panels.
Yeah.
But his phone was off air at that point, and that was...
Come on, lads and lassies. What's going on here with Solar Sol? We declared you're determined yesterday. There was at least six people. I'm sure there's more, but one of you has to come on and tell us what's happened. We're not assuming it's anything illegal, but all these people are out of pocket by a very significant amount of money. Somebody working for Solar Sol has to tell us what's happened. Is there any hope of people getting their money back in Gowrie? Any hope? Des, how long are you living in Gowrie?
We just moved to Gowrie about 18 months ago.
So you decided to get the solar panels and you said, I'll go local.
Yes, we knew somebody in town that got them from the company and they were satisfied with them. They were happy with
them. That's fine, and we said that yesterday, but come on, Solar Sol Gowrie, you have to tell us what's happened. Somebody has to tell us. These people, these are good, decent people. They need to know what's happened to their money. They need to know what's happened to their money. Okay, Des, thanks. And Ian, you think you heard of other people as well?
Yeah, and I have one friend who is in a similar position, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of us have tried to put up warnings in various different manners, try and stop other people putting in deposits until somebody had their panel fitted.
And did you get on to the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland?
Yes.
Have they any? Well, they're always on the radio advertising and saying which they are, I'm sure, how brilliant they are. Are they any use here?
I'm afraid not. Just told us that the only representation they had was to say that they confirmed that the tax affairs and the insurance affairs were in order, but they weren't offering anything with regard to Solar Sol themselves.
Okay. Gardaí?
So that was at that end. Yes, we got onto Gardaí in very early September again.
Yeah.
We haven't really heard very much back from
them. Come on, this is the Gardaí in Gowrie, is it?
Yeah, we were.
And all the people we're hearing from obviously are from around Gowrie. If there was, if 40 grand went missing, God forbid, anywhere in Gowrie, they'd be out of the station at the top of the town in jig time.
I go further and say if I drove off from a petrol station, they'd be after me.
With 60 euros. Okay. Come on. Anyway, somebody must know. Somebody must know. Will the Gardaí tell us? Will the Gowrie Guardian tell us today? That's a great local newspaper. Maybe they tell us. Would anyone in Gowrie tell us what's happened to Solar Sol for these people now who have been left high and dry, pardon the pun, but have been left 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. I'm totting it up, and it's nearly 40 grand. That's just from people who've contacted Liveline, from Liveline listeners. Okay, Ian, I'm sorry. Des, I hope your wife has made a full recovery after her fall. after you moved to Gowrie from Longford. And John as well. Thank you all. Solar Sol Gowrie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Solar Sol and Gowrie, please contact us. Somebody, joe@rte.ie. Be treated in full confidence. joe@rte.ie. Is the email. Anthony Duggan, you should have been on at the the beginning of the programme, because this would have been a great starter. What are you on about?
That's okay, Joe. It's nice talking to you. Joe, I'm a man who likes a bowl of soup.
Okay.
Especially in winter.
For starters, yeah.
The problem is, Joe, invariably,
yes,
it's a vegetable soup.
Yes.
You have no choice. Now, Joe, the soup, it's always a thick soup with a slice of bread that's a ton weight, right?
Okay.
I'd actually prefer a bit of soda bread, but anyway, that's beside the point.
Okay.
My dad used to say that you could trot a mouse across it. Lots of mercy in it.
In the old days, yeah.
Now, most establishments, Joe, describe, they pride themselves with the fact that this is homemade soup and brown bread.
Yeah.
Like, long ago, we'd say if you went into a hotel, Joe, you might get asparagus, celery, chicken, oxtail, tomato on different days of the week.
Yeah.
It's not happening anymore, Joe.
And who's taking the soup?
Well, I'll come to that in a second. I have my suspicions.
Okay, now, it's hard that, yeah.
Before I get on to that, Joe, I had a French onion soup. It's a very difficult soup to make. I tried to make it one time and I made a complete bags of it. But I had a French onion soup, for instance, up in Clarenbridge, in an attached pub about 20 years ago. And I actually haven't forgotten it. It was the most beautiful soup that I ever had.
Okay.
My suspicions, Joe, you know, I think that...
Speak freely. Don't speak freely, because don't be afraid of legal restrictions. Speak freely.
Okay. I think that yesterday's vegetables in the dinners, I actually think that they're being liquidized, Joe.
Oh, my God. Anthony, that's a very serious allegation. You're saying the soup available at lunchtime in pubs and hotels around Ireland is invariably vegetable because it's yesterday's leftover veg thrown into the liquidiser.
Well, it's probably not all of it done, but
good luck.
And sometimes you can get a potato and leek soup, and that's possibly a first cousin. So I don't know, Joe. I'd be quite frank with you.
And or a leek and pea soup you can get as well. And what, like, if you read, as you do, as I do, John B. Keane, soup features everywhere as a staple. A staple in the diet. It was very popular. And you say it's not, but is soup generally gone from the Irish domestic diet anyway? Do you follow me?
It's probably not as popular as it used to be, but...
And is that why it's disappeared off the menus? It's not your thesis that it's disappeared. There's a very limited choice when you look for a hearty bowl of soup.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a nice almost a meal, especially winter time, Joe.
Yeah. Well, it's not too far from a good soup to a stew. Sure, it's only a throw in a few potatoes and a bit of meat or a bit of chicken or whatever, and then. And if you go the other way, you could end up with a coddle.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, Joe, that you know, a lot of publicans are responsible.
I know. We checked you out. There's no conflict of interest. I understand.
For their own demise, we'll say. I mean, you know, it's very hard to get an open fire anymore, and I'm amazed that a lot of publicans, maybe it happened a bit long ago, but that they'd have stock soup, and you know, and. You know, a man who might come in and have 4 or 5 pints or something, that he wouldn't be staggering out the door.
Yeah.
And at very little cost, just to put on a pot of stock soup, you know.
And just keep it simmering away.
And keep it simmering, yeah.
And every now and again throw in a few carrots, or every now and again throw in a few, if the bone's off a chicken, throw them in and let them simmer away, and then strain it into a lovely stock or a lovely consommé.
Absolutely.
And where did you say was the magnificent soup you tasted recently, or maybe it's a few years ago?
It was in Clarenbridge. There was a attached pub there in the village.
And what was the make of the soup again? What was the flavour?
French onion
soup.
Oh,
well, now that's very difficult.
And it was a crust. You see, you can have a crust of I think cheese on top.
Oh, that's
it's very difficult to make it. So.
Okay.
So that's my suspicion or allegation or whatever you call it, Joe.
And when you slipped into a pub or a hotel, would you say to them, "Where is the choice gone? You used to have a super choice, and now you don't."
Well, I know of a couple of places, Joe, and I know for a fact because I've gone there a lot, and it is any day of the week, it's always vegetable. And sometimes I ask and sometimes I don't, but I might ask sometimes just for the hell of it. And what you'll find is the waiter or the waitress will either be very short and they'll just say vegetable, mm-hmm. meaning sounding bored, like that they're being asked a question nearly every day. Mm-hmm. Or you'll get another waiter or waitress to say, oh, it's vegetable today, like as if it was chicken yesterday and there'll be something else tomorrow, like,
But you think that's a ruse?
I do.
You do? Okay, well then, God.
So I hope I'm not alone in that, but...
Well, I remember asking once, is the soup homemade? And the waiter said, well, more or less.
More or less, yeah.
And I remember in another place, on the Gay Bourne Show, we'd be always travelling back. What's the soup of the day? And I remember the waiter saying to me, I don't know, they keep changing it every day. But that was back in the days when you couldn't get soup.
Just back in the day, yeah.
Isn't that your point?
It is, Joe. Yeah. And I'd actually prefer a packet soup, to be honest with you, to the thick soup that's been put in front of you with this heavy bread, you know.
Okay. Have you any? Did you hear Lothar earlier on about going around his bare feet?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting combination. But anyway, so you're calling for the reintroduction. Well, there's a general election in 6 weeks from today. The Green Party leader, Roger O'Gorman, said it earlier. It's November 29th. He's put it up to the other two boys. And so it could become an issue. The vegetables and the soup. Hopefully, Joe.
And you know, and I do have a couple of dogs, Joe, and you can't... I've often asked for leftover, we'll say, dinners to take home to the dogs. There's just, I think, did the foot and mouth do away with that they actually have to discard it. It just to go to the pigs long ago. But just hope that when I go in the following day for a bowl of soup, that it's not finishing up in the soup place.
I wouldn't, Anthony. Oh, God, there's very Food Safety Authority. And we've more organisations, Food Safety Authority, Safe Food Ireland. They're never HSE. They're always on the go checking everything in. Any other? So you would eat packet soup, he said, finally.
Oh, I would, yeah.
Okay. Would you eat packet carrots from a tin?
I would.
Sorry for catching you off. Sorry for bouncing that question at you.
Obviously, it's not as good as a fresh vegetable, you know. But as I say, I just have this theory about liquidising stuff and presenting it, you know.
And Anthony, what do you do in real life?
I used to work as a draftsman, Joe.
Oh, draftsman! Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's a good eye. Danny, where are you, Danny Sullivan?
I'm in Prairieland in Duleek, just outside the village of Duleek there.
In County Louth?
Just listen to that. County Meath there.
County Meath, sorry. Yes. Oh, God, I'll never set foot again. Okay, Danny, what do you think of Anthony's thesis, the soup, the great soup
agree.
Conspiracy?
Yeah, 100% agree there. Sometimes I've had vegetable soup, like he said, like the liquidizer, and you mentioned the potato and leek, and I call that wallpaper paste. And I often go into restaurants, no hold on the wallpaper paste there. The staff look at me there.
That's the potato and leek.
And another time, a lot of cases that the soups are not. They're not hot. They're not even. They're barely warm. I mean, it's not rocket science. Now I can. There is one place in Drogheda that does a beautiful minestrone soup, Borsellinus. There. That's amazing. If anybody wants to go for a soup, that's fabulous. And I was on a trip last year in Tullamore. I went to look for a breakfast, and unfortunately the staff and I were wondering, I said, I'll try your soup. And she had a fantastic mushroom soup, which I normally wouldn't go. It was like a meal, but I mean, that's in one hand. But in a lot of cases, the soup, it's an aftertaste. It's gone. And then years ago, you used to get a lovely French onion soup with the croutons and the gooey cheese. That's all gone.
And Danny, are you telling me you had mushroom soup for breakfast?
Well, it was probably midday around. I was having a breakfast.
Ah, that's fine.
And I heard the person say that hadn't got the staff, and one of the neighbouring tables had the soup on. And I was there. I said, I'll go for the soup there. So that's what I thought there. But
How much for a bowl of soup these days?
They're an average there. Between 7 and 8 euro. No, it is not. It's not cheap now. So, and the Gordon Ramsay is often, when you see him at night time and watch the program, he'd often say, "There's good profit margins in the soup. Why they don't have
nice homemade soup?"
And even one local restaurant, they don't even have it for the starters there. And I always liked the soup there, I just heard that gentleman on, and I just totally agree with what he said there. So,
you could be setting up a soup, Save the Soup Society between the SOS, Save Our Soup. Okay, Anthony Duggan, good to meet you. Danny Sullivan, mind yourself. Safe travelling to the two of you. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
This controversy began an hour ago with a call from a man called Chris, who said he was on a Ryanair flight recently, 4 hours to Madeira, and the person sitting next to him took off his shoes, took off his socks, and sat for the flight in his bare feet. There wasn't a hum, he said. There wasn't a smell, there wasn't an odour, there wasn't a discomfort. He just said he didn't like the sight of your man's left foot and right foot, for that matter. But now we're discovering there's a cultural, we know there's a worldwide cultural practice of going around the bare feet. Unfortunately, there's a practice through poverty of going around in your bare feet. There's a spiritual or religious practice of removing your shoes as you go into someone's house or indeed into a temple. Then now there's a growing health and fitness movement in the Western world of going around in your bare feet. But Christy,
hello, Joe.
What was the movie? Can you remember?
I can, Joe. I was trying to remember there while I was waiting online. It was Two Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, yeah. The McDonough, Martin McDonough. Great movie. Okay, great there you movie. Are. Enjoying the movie. And Francis Dormant. And what happened?
My popcorn got. I'm sitting down, relaxing, watching the adverts come on. And I'm vaguely aware that people are sat in behind me. Now, the theatre isn't full. It's far from full. It's not even half full. And just before the movie starts, I become aware that just 2 feet appear beside my face.
Two. To my right. Two.
My left foot and my right foot.
Okay.
Correct, Joe. Movie. And it's ingrained in my memory, Joe, because the nails were painted bright red.
Woo!
Yeah.
And did you find out what his name was?
So my sister was with me, and I tapped her, and I said, "Sir, are you seeing what I'm seeing?" And she couldn't believe it either.
Yeah, okay.
And I said, "What the?" So I turned around, and they belonged to a young lady, actually.
Yeah.
And they were so close to my face, Joe. Now, I'm not into this. I could actually have licked them.
No. That's not playing the game, Christy. You would have been arrested. You would have been ejected.
I would have been, but I'm not into that, Joe. So I turned around to the lady, and I politely, and she was in company also, and I politely said to her, "Do you mind?"
Yes.
And she said, "Oh, sorry. No." And she removed them. I just couldn't believe it, Joe.
And so, would you be a barefoot man yourself, Chrissy B. Times?
Have no problem, Joe. I have no problem, high up or low down, of people walking around in bare feet, as long as they're not near my personal space or in my face.
Okay, but would you walk around, obviously, outside the house in your bare feet ever?
I have an occasion in fields and stuff.
Fields, and it's a nice field.
No, but I wouldn't be putting my feet up on seats in a cinema, for sure.
No,
whether
of course
I have shoes
not.
On or socks on or
gone
not.
With the wind, gone with the wind. Stay there, Christy. Dave O'Brien. Dave might convince Christy. Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. I don't know if I convinced him or not, but should we give it a go?
Okay. Would you? Are you talking into a bachelor's bean can with a bit of twine at the end of it? Where?
No, Joe. Does it sound like that? I'm sitting in the car with the rain just pouring down, and the phone clunk in the ears.
So you're safe.
I'm safe.
Okay, so bare feet.
Bare feet. Yes. What do you want to know?
Well, why? Well, you're evangelical.
Ah, sure, listen, no, that's a bit extreme. I tell you what, I've been running barefoot for 13 and a half years.
Wow.
I came across it in the Sahara Desert. I was running a race there. I was the first Irish guy to run the Sahara Marathon, the Saab, and these two Moroccan lads ran by me. Now, they had it was like a moccasin jaw, a very small
light,
bit of material on it.
Because
the sand is too hot, you know. But they had this beautiful gait, and I was thinking, what the hell is that? 2 years later, I was in the desert again. The same boys passed me by, the usual, and it intrigued me. And so in 2010, I was in Chile, and a white South African lad, just 10 years later, passed me by with the same gait. Now, he had shoes. And when I got back to the tent a couple of hours later, I said, Ryan, did you ever wear go barefoot? He says, all the time, Dave. Jesus, yeah. Oh, if he did, I came back to Cork.
Okay.
Out in the farm, I start walking around initially and then gradually running from goalpost to goalpost. And so the rest is history. I've been running, I've probably run about 6,000 miles, I'd say, barefoot.
On
the concrete, on the grass. Yeah, all over the place, yeah.
And what about temperature? You said the desert, which I'm sure, well, that can be very hot. What about
too hot.
What about cold?
No bother to me. I was out in Helsinki there, it was -6, and I nearly caused a couple of traffic accidents running around the roads in the bare feet. The only trouble is your feet do freeze up in that weather. You get about 30 minutes, and then it defeats the purpose of barefoot because you can't feel. So you've got to come in and take about an hour for them to defrost a bit, you know. But, it's no bother.
Has anyone ever been past remarkable, Dave, about your...
Have they what?
Oh, good luck.
Well, you get this look of confusion, bewilderment, disgust, you name it. And, you know, I normally run by people and they look at you and say, I'm saving up for a pair. That's what I normally say. I think people just can't get their head around it, Joe. Look, if you think about it, as I said, I'm 71. Mm-hmm. I haven't an ache or a pain, and that's not just kind of good luck or good genes. There's reasoning behind barefoot. Because once you take shoes off, your feet are like receptors. They're so sensitive. And they kind of, when you take your shoes off, they kind of go, there's no way I'm going to slap my foot on the ground. And it doesn't. You know, you have this lovely bent knee, and there's no impact. And the running shoe companies know that, and they've known it for years. But I'm not saying, by the way, to your listeners, throw away your running shoes. Throw away your shoes and start going. But no, because we've been, I suppose, shoes since we were 6 months old.
But the sensation on your bare foot is...
fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Look, Joe, and people say to me, what about if I step into dog poo or so? Well, yeah. Just wash your feet, like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was listening to I don't know what program it was, in fairness, but it was an air steward, and maybe I was reading it, listing the five things they hate and what they dislike most of people going using the toilets whenever they're open on the airplane, using them in their bare feet. And Pam Ayres, the great poet Pam Ayres,
still
on the go after 40 years winning Opportunity Knocks. This is what she had to say about it.
At last, the aircraft toilet's free. Now everyone can wait for me. The floor's awash. I think it's we. It's whittle, piddle. Someone missed the middle. In the mirror, some old hag. Don't bother with a makeup bag or think of lighting up a fag. I'm crabby. Well, it's shabby. You couldn't swing a tabby. Dare I flush, fight down my fear, that roar to paralyze your ears and suck you to the stratosphere, reeling, squealing, clinging to the ceiling. I hate these squalid aircraft loos and wish that I had worn my shoes.
Tom Canty, Tom.
Yep.
You say there's a serious health issue about shoes and socks.
There's not a serious health issue about shoes and socks. There's a health issue about not wearing socks in public.
Okay, tell us. Okay, yeah.
Well, I suffered an ear infection myself. And it spread from one toe to the other.
Yes.
Went to a chiropodist. Eventually, the nail on my fell off. It fell off, and it's lasted for years. And what I would see is that if it is infectious, and if you sit down at a hotel table, put your feet on the carpet, and there's kitties maybe crawling around, you have there is the potential for the children's nails to fall off eventually.
Tom, if
it's very serious, right? So, I just want to put it out there.
I know you haven't put a foot wrong so far, but the you say the socks, the socks prevent the spread of what could be a fungus infection.
Of course, it really.
Do you have any? Do you have any evidence, Tom, to back that up?
To say that a sock will actually stop it, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I have evidence to say that if you don't wear socks, it will spread. That's the important thing. You know what I mean?
So
I mean, most people will wear socks, and it is rude. It is. I mean, I think I didn't hear all the conversation with the first guy, but
yeah, Lothar from Germany.
He criticised some hotel in.
Yeah, when he walked in his bare feet, they said to him, "Show some respect."
Absolutely, and he said that he's telling everybody about it, but he wasn't going to name it on the radio. No, if he names that hotel on the radio, it will be inundated with people who want to stay there because they know that they respect him.
Well done, Tom.
Really, I'm not serious,
Tom. Like, okay, you say your preferred foot situation is always wear socks. So you don't wear socks in bed.
I do, yeah. Of course.
Is it not very?
Is it what?
Is it not very?
It's not very what?
Is it not very warm? Like an.
I don't know what you do up there in Dublin, but did you ever hear of bed socks?
Ever hear of what?
Did you ever hear of bed socks?
Of course we did, yeah. I thought they went out with the button boots.
But you see, this is it like, you know, I mean, they're fantastic. I mean, and it's for protecting somebody else. I mean, you feel good about yourselves.
Yeah. So where would I buy a decent pair of size 9 bed socks?
Clonakilty will be the best place, I'd say.
Oh, Clonakilty seems to be the...
and your buddy there can buy it on if he goes down again.
Lothar, you will never get Lothar into a pair of socks, Tom. Hear him? The freedom, the connection with God's earth. The antennae, the touch, the feel, the call. You heard Dave there.
I know.
He ran around Helsinki in -6 degrees and the locals were crashing their cars looking at him.
Yeah, and that comes from a brand, well-known brand, and it's called Selfishness, right? I mean, they're available all over the country.
Tom, did you hear that, Dave? Dave?
A bit harsh there.
Yeah.
I don't understand the selfish bit. I mean, I'm not harming anybody. I'm not in a restaurant.
No, I'm talking about talking about a guy who goes into a hotel, under the table, on a carpet, and you could have a grandchild, you know, down on the ground eating a bit of toast, you know, with no socks on. So do you know what I mean? It's just crazy. Carry on by that guy. And if he's selfish enough to actually do it, you'll just tell me the hotels that he goes to, and I won't go there ever. You know.
And Tom.
Yeah.
Did you get the cream? Did the cream work?
I had several visits to doctors and chiropodists, and they actually did work. But then after a few months, they came back again. There's no cure, like.
Yeah.
Now, I worked with a guy many years ago, and he had it in his fingernails, and it was, I mean, he couldn't do anything about it, and that's desperate.
Oh, that's different, that's different, yeah.
Yeah, but it's
But did our Lord himself not go around in a pair of Birks, a pair of sandals?
What? Yeah.
Did our Lord himself not go around in open toed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did the Capuchins and the Franciscans not go around?
Among other things. They do, yeah, among other things.
Half of the religions in the world knock around in their bare feet?
They do, yeah, but we're talking about bare feet, right?
Yeah.
Under a table where there's people dining. Now, I was at a wedding in Kerry, and this guy came in the morning, about 7 of us there, 8 at the table, and he sat down with bare feet. I asked him to actually leave. He got quite upset about it.
Oh, you asked him to leave?
I did, yeah.
Okay, I'm the fella in the bare feet. What did you say to me?
Turn.
What did you say to him?
He came. What did I say to him?
Yes.
Well, I told him that he wasn't properly dressed, and if he didn't mind leaving the table or
else, and I no, and I he replied. He replied, "What do you mean I'm not properly dressed? What are you on about?"
He told me to F off, right?
Okay.
And and what really annoyed me was I saw that he didn't have the thing on the socks on our shoes, And then eventually he was talking to somebody, yeah. And in the middle of it, he put his heel up on the armchair and started to massage.
That's not playing the game. But when you looked at his feet,
but if he had socks on and shoes, he couldn't have done that.
But when you looked at his feet on the ground, his bare feet, were they ugly?
I wouldn't be an expert on the beauty of feet, Joe, or the ugliness of them. All I know is that they weren't wearing socks.
Well, when you wear socks all the time yourself, when is the last time you've seen your feet?
Pardon?
Well, you this say you morning, wear socks well, all the time, yeah, and in the shower or whatever, okay.
This morning in the shower, Joe, yeah.
Okay, and they're perfect.
What?
They're perfect.
No, but they're my feet, I'm not going to criticise them.
They're the only pair you have.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
But it is a serious thing for children.
And what do you think of people barefoot on the plane?
They shouldn't be doing it if they're next to somebody because.
Yeah, but I've never seen a sign on an airline or an airport. Please do not go barefoot on the plane.
No, but you wouldn't see it in a hotel either, Joe.
Yeah, basic manners.
But people would respect that.
Basic manners, okay.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be selfish because there is a danger to it, you know.
Yeah, I wonder.
How anybody can do it and ring up the radio show to tell it how rude and selfish he is.
You heard Lothar earlier on. He lives in West Cork. He's originally from Germany.
Yeah.
He said the hippies used to go around back in the day in their bare feet. He goes around Bantry. He'll be in the Bantry market tomorrow in his bare feet. And he said he loves it. And people.
But he's outdoors, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, the hippie people don't. When the hippies were in West Cork, right?
Yeah.
The only time they went indoors was to draw the door, right? I mean, and so they weren't really a threat, you know?
Come on, without the West Germans in West Cork, we never would have had yogurt in this country.
Would we not?
No, they brought it and wooden bowls, and wooden spoons,
and cream cheese. And
Gorgonzola.
Maybe
that's where Gorgonzola, the smell of Gorgonzola, people have often compared it to, haven't they, Tom?
Off their feet, is it?
Yeah. We could be onto something here. Okay, well, Tom, will you walk away now from me?
Fine.
Will you walk away?
I think there should be a serious warning for out there that it can be very dangerous.
Okay, we'll try and we'll get on to our resident chiropractor, our chiropodist even. Okay, Tom, I'm going. Tom, I'm walking away. I'm walking away. Bye bye, Tom. Bye bye, Dave.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I'm Sound Carl O'Hare, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Rachel Graham, series producer Annette Egan. Meaning of Life, Sunday night, 10:30, RT Television with the wonderful Sinead Burke. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.